How many of you made New Year's resolutions? A few of you, all right, yeah. I went to our government, and our government has an opinion about everything. New Year's resolutions are no different. And on the USA.gov website, here is their list of top resolutions. In alphabetical order. So I can't say which one's the most important or anything like that. Drink less alcohol. Eat healthy food. Get a better education. Get a better job. Get fit. Lose weight. Manage debt. I just love that one from the government, don't you? Sorry, didn't mean to be political there, but manage stress. Quit smoking. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Save money. Take a trip. And volunteer to help others. That's what the government says are the top resolutions for the year. Well, who knows? I wonder what the end of 2013 will bring for their resolutions, huh? But sometimes it's good to take stock of where we are, to look back a little bit, to think of where we've come from, and perhaps to gather up some of the treasures of what God has done for us along the way. Let's take a look. Let's take a look. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 3, or chapter 23, sorry. Leviticus chapter 23 describes a number of the feasts and festivals that were in ancient Israel. And I want to turn your attention for the moment to the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, however you might remember it. And verse 39, chapter 23, and verse 39. Also it says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have done what? Gathered in the fruit of the land. So this was after the harvest. This was at the end of the agricultural cycle. So they were gathering in the harvest. This was the time that they were rejoicing because God had blessed them. They had gathered the things in that God had done for them through the year. God had blessed. And this was the things that they were to bring to mind, that God had done these things for them. And today it's too easy. I'm sorry, it's just too easy to go down to Publix, to pick up stuff, to put down your money, and to walk out and think that this is normal. For 90% of human history, this is not normal. It's normal for us today, maybe, but not through human history. Folks worked hard to do that, and I'm not saying that we don't work hard today, but there was a direct relationship between the work they put in and the harvest they got out, you know? And a direct result they saw clearly between God's blessing on their work and the harvest that they were able to gather in. And so I want to think today a little bit about the blessings that God has given you this year. As far as I can tell, as I look around the room, yep, looks like pretty much all of you are breathing. All of you pretty much look alive. And so God has clearly blessed you with life. That's a good thing. All of you appear to be clothed. That's a very good thing. All of you have enjoyed a holiday here recently. You have food to eat, place to live. God has blessed. God has blessed. These are treasures that the Lord has given to us that often we just blow off. We think they're just normal, they're everyday. We should just get them by right almost. And we don't realize that God is blessed. God had ways for them to remember where these blessings came from. If you look again with me at just back a couple verses, verse 37, he's reiterating the whole system here. He says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything on its day." Now wait just a minute, let's count this up here. Burnt offering, grain offering, sacrifice, which, you know, was usually the little lamb, right? And drink offering. Okay, so four things they were supposed to be offering at its various times on these feasts, right? But then look at the next verse. "Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings." So they were supposed to give these four things for these feasts in addition to all the other regular things that they were giving. Whew. They must have been really thankful people, huh? Because they sure gave back to God a lot. And I wonder if we haven't lost something there. Maybe lost a little something there. Because we don't think about it quite like that anymore, do we? We talk about gifts and we talk about offerings, but mostly we talk about tithe and we don't really think about the other ways that we can say to God, "Thank you. Look at all that I've been blessed with. Thank you, Lord. He has blessed us so bountifully." And we have ways to say thank you to the Lord. And so that's one way that we can gather up the treasure, that we can offer to God a thanks offering. We can say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I give tithe and I give to the church budget, but I also want to just give a special thanks. And I want to say thank you to the Lord." Okay. And so that's something that we can do to just bring to our minds again all that the Lord has done. And as we do, we're remembering that it's about God's blessings to us. That is to say that our offerings actually are as much a blessing to us as they are to someone else. Amen. Because they're helping us to remember something really important. That we serve a God who can stop the rain whenever he feels like. who can just say, nope, your soil isn't going to produce today. Imagine if the breadbasket of America this coming year just didn't produce any corn. No more Twinkies. Oh, wait, there's no more Twinkies anyway, right? One bless. I mean, but think about that. If we just suddenly had a food shortage in this country. Whew. This Feast of Tabernacles was a way to say, thank you, Lord. And to go back in their minds over the past year. And I know it was probably celebrated in October, generally speaking. But we've just finished a year, and it's kind of time to look back a little bit. Think about God's blessings, huh? But there's another interesting thing about this. Take a look at verse 40. Verse 40. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of leafy trees, and willows by the brook. So they were to go and cut branches, right? You remember. And they were to make the little booth. And they were actually to live in this booth for a week. Live in this booth for a week. Move out of their house, move into the booth. Into this little grass hut almost, right? Leafy hut, whatever. For a week. And live there. Okay, so we're all going to cut down some branches in October and we're going to go live in our backyards, right? The kids will love it. What was the point of that anyway? We'll come to it. But I want you to notice something else in verse 40. Take a look at what it says next in verse 40. After we take the willows from the book, it says, and you shall, what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Okay. Now, you know, I want you to imagine me coming to your house and telling you, you will be happy. It's like, what? No, you must. This is a command. You will rejoice. Can you imagine that? Why is God saying you will rejoice? Or is it less of a command and just saying this is your opportunity? I don't know. But he's saying you will rejoice. Rejoice! This is a time as we think back on how God is blessed. It's a time to rejoice. And I appreciate our Sabbath school this morning, where she talked about, forget the hurtful words that I said, right? I'm to forget the hurtful words that I said and the things that people did that were painful. Forget those things and remember the blessings. There's too little time to dwell on all the junk in our lives. Forget that. Let's think about what God has done, the blessings He's given us. Let's move forward with rejoicing. God says you will rejoice. Now, I want to contrast that for just a moment. To a few verses before. I want to look at verse 26. Leviticus chapter 23. And verse 26, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, also the 10th day of the 7th month, 10th day, what month? 7th month. Now go back to 39, and it's the, what day? 15th day of the 7th month. So how much separated these two festivals? 5 days, right? The 10th day of the 7th month and the 15th day of the 7th month. What was it on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement? What happened on the Day of Atonement. You recall, the high priest would go in. He would make atonement for the sanctuary, right? And this was a day they were to afflict their souls, right? They were to do a self-examination, to look at their hearts. Am I right with God? Is it good with me between my soul and the heavenly God, the God Almighty? Am I right with God to end this year? And they were to afflict their souls. Look at verse 27. Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you, and you shall afflict your soul. Right? Verse 29. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. Verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. Brothers and sisters, this was the time to root out sin. This was the time to make things right. This was the time to get things square between you and God and you and other people. Do we have anything anywhere near equivalent to that today? Anything like communion? Anything like communion today? Didn't we just celebrate communion 2 Sabbaths ago? Okay, it's a little more than 5 days. I get it. But we just celebrated communion not too long ago. We just made things right between us and God, and hopefully during the foot washing service between you and other people, that you got things right. And now, just a few days later, in both that ancient time and today, it's a time to celebrate, a time to see God's blessing, a time to recall all that He has done for us. And in contrast to the afflicting the soul back then, if we truly have faith that God has forgiven us our sins, now's the time to rejoice. Because we have gotten right with God. We've gotten right with others. A fresh start to the year. This is God's time for us to rejoice. And so, you remember Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's right. And so this is an opportunity for us to think back on God's blessing, to remember how much He's done for us, and to look forward to a great new year. I wonder, how has God blessed you? How has God blessed you? How has God blessed you? I need like 2 sentences. 2 sentences. I want to give you the opportunity. Am I up here?
1, 2.
Ooh, ah. I have time for some people to tell us how God has blessed. With 2 sentences.
Good health and good health. The baby.
Yes.
My friend.
God has blessed us with health. New loved ones, it's beautiful.
To reach 65 years of age right now.
Amen, brother. God has blessed with long life. Yes.
By meeting all my needs and my family's coming together as it should be.
Yes.
The Lord has truly blessed me in every way.
Amen. Family together. Yes.
He gave me my sight back.
Amen. Amen. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Other blessings.
At last, I am very thankful, though my husband has passed away, but he has stopped already. Very hard to see him in that sad situation. And yes. I thank the Lord that he has rested.
Amen. Did you hear who was counting their blessings? Folks who had lost someone. I'll try and get you from the back here.
Well, I thank God for a full-time job.
Amen.
And also thanking him that Jabari went off to college and not to the military.
Amen. Amen. All right. God has so many blessings in our lives.
I thank God because I never sick in my life. Thank God for everything I need, he give it to me.
Life and health, yes. Yes.
I thank God for a new knee. My knee was a mess, and it was getting so I couldn't walk, I couldn't exercise anymore, and so I had the surgery, and I have a new knee, and recovery's a little rough, but all my friends have been praying for me and checking on me and getting better every day.
Amen. Amen. Look around you. See the people here who are blessings to you.
Thank him for the opportunity to love and serve him more.
Yes, the opportunity even to love and serve God. Absolutely.
A wonderful life, a wonderful wife, and a wonderful church family.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to take two more. One here and one there.
The privilege of a wonderful wife and to be debt-free.
Yes, yes. The Lord has blessed. Absolutely. Yes.
I want to thank God for things he has done beyond my understanding.
Yes. Things we don't even know about. You know, things where God has blessed, even where we were unaware of what he was doing. God has done so much. Let's go to verse 42. Let's go to verse 42 and think about these booths for a moment. Verse 42, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths. Verse 43, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Maybe 2012 was a year of coming out of Egypt for you. All the joy you could possibly ask for. Maybe 2012 for you was the wilderness. Not so good, I don't know. But in either case, we remember that God led us through it. We didn't come through it because of our great strength or our wonderful wisdom. It was because God brought us through. He took care of us all the way through. So it is in this feast we have the looking back, but there's also the looking forward part. There's a little bit of looking forward to this feast because this was a feast all Israel had to gather to. This was a happy feast, a wonderful time. And people would come from all around the nation, all around the world, and would come together all in the city of Jerusalem. And if you had a square inch on your rooftop, you had somebody living with you for free. Everybody together. Everybody happy. Sounds like heaven to me. And so I want to take just a little bit of that into 2013. I want to take just a little of that coming together happiness into the coming year. To remember that we're all brothers and sisters, that we're on our way to heaven, and that we can help one another get there. And so, we tend, as we look back sometimes, to beat ourselves up. Oh, I didn't get to the gym this year. Oh, gained a few pounds this year. I did this or I didn't do that. And we end up beating ourselves up. You know what? 2012's over, folks. No matter what you write on your checks over the next week, 2012 is over, okay? And so as we look back, I want to consider what God has done, the blessings that he has done. Rose, you're going to see a bunch of them today. You know you're going to see a bunch of them today. Probably mine. And so I want you to think about that, but also look forward to what God has done. How can you remember God's good that he has done to you? A couple of tangible things we can do. Things we can do this week. First, consider a thank offering to the Lord. Consider this week to give a thank offering to the Lord. Maybe a gift to your favorite thing in the church, whatever it is. Pathfinders, women's ministry, whatever is your favorite work that the church does. A thank offering, whatever it happens to be. Remember them. That's one way. Maybe you can write about it in your prayer journal. Take a look back as you're in your prayer time this week and think, God did this for me this year. Write it down. God did something else for me. Write it down. Write down these things. Gather up those treasures. Maybe another thing you could do, call a friend and say, hey, you know what? God has been so good to me this year. I just had to share it with somebody. And share with them what God has done. Give them an opportunity to participate in your blessing, you know? And then finally, plan for a great new year. Because the God who loved you last year is the same God who cares for you this year. God still loves you. He didn't quit December 31st. He still loves you. He's still with you. And so I invite you this week to make plans for 2013. Maybe you're not uncomfortable with the word resolution. That's all right. But make a change in your life that makes it a blessing to yourself and others. And then you can truly gather up the treasure.